football fans, and welcome to the CBFA podcast with your hosts, James Parks and Cole Fortner.
Yeah, I guess so. Hello and welcome to another podcast for the CBFA. Joining me alongside, as always, is my co-host James Parks. And we have a special guest joining us today, Mr. Chris Glass, the head coach of the George McDougal Mustangs and one of the amazing people that have put on the Airdrie Homecoming Festival.
Right on. Welcome, Chris.
Well, yeah. Thank you for having me, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. Anytime I could talk football, I'm a happy guy.
Well, you're in the right place.
Definitely one of the best football minds that I know.
Well, I appreciate that. That's we're starting off the podcast with a pretty hefty introduction there.
Yeah, no pressure.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, James, you want to start us off with the recap of what happened at Shoal Dice
this week? Sure thing. So, this past Saturday morning, week 7 action at Shoal Dice Park started off with a tilt between the Mavericks and the Cowboys. And I talked to Dan about it, as I wasn't present, but Dan gave me a rundown of the game and said the Mavericks were playing pretty well. The Cowboys came out flat. It was a pretty evenly played first half. And then the game got away from the Mavericks in the second half. The Cowboys were able to run away with it. Final score in that one was 38-8 for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I heard that was a pretty dominant game for the Mavericks. They just weren't able to do anything offensively.
Yeah, and by all accounts, I talked to a couple of people. The Mavericks played well, and the score was not indicative of how the game went. The score was more imbalanced than the play.
Which it happens at times.
True that. The game right after that was probably the most tightly contested game that we've had so far. I watched one earlier that was a 6-6 tie and then one on a late rouge by the Mavericks. That was early in the season, but this matchup between the Lions and the Bulldogs went down to the wire. They were tied 6-6 at halftime. Neither team was able to score in the second half, and they end up with a 6-6 tie. So our first tie of the season.
Yeah, and I don't remember when the last time we actually had a tie was. I have to go back into records to find that. But
I think it's at least a couple of years.
Been a hot minute for sure.
See, I was hoping you were going to tell me that game ended with a rouge because the rouge is in jeopardy lately. So I'm pro rouge.
Well, exactly. I'm pro rouge myself. So I was excited to see some of our other games end in rouges earlier in the season, and disappointed that if one of the teams had a chance to kick a rouge near the end of the game, they didn't take it. So. Or else perhaps maybe they did, and there was a kick out of the end zone. I would love that. That's one of my favorite plays in the CFL.
Yeah, well, the rouge isn't fully gone. It'll still be in place, but it's the elimination of the kick through the end zone for the rouge. If the returner still gets tackled, then there still will be the rouge point. But
yeah,
it's definitely gonna be a lot harder to come by.
True.
But I'm gonna get sure. Say long live the rouge and just make sure that everybody knows.
Yeah, and that's if we follow the same rules down at the high school and bantam levels as well.
Of course.
All right. Following that game, I was able to actually attend and announce the two afternoon games at Shoal Dice. The 1 o'clock game was a matchup between the Wildcats and the Rebels. And, as expected, the Wildcats dominated that one. They won that game, final score 45-6. However, the Rebels didn't play super poorly. They they got into some penalty trouble. It derailed a couple of their drives. And the Wildcats were Very, very solid on defense. They played tight. They were reading plays. They were attacking the football behind the line of scrimmage any chance they got. And maybe they were able to read something into that. I don't know. I think they just played really well. Their defensive captain, I can't remember his name offhand, but he had his helmet on the football the entire game.
So I backtracking a slight tad there. I did find the last time we had a tie.
Oh.
It was week six of 2023 between the Wildcats and the Raiders. And
Aha.
that game finished 20 to 20.
Yeah.
Only two.
Excellent. I think we may have talked about that because the Wildcats and the Raiders had a playoff game that was decided by a rouge. And in the afternoon game, the afternoon cap, if you will, the Eagles took on the Stampeders, and I think we were all expecting a little bit of a closer game and perhaps a different outcome, but the Stampeders really showed up to play. They played excellent from the first whistle to the very last, and they ended up winning this one by a score of 25 to 14.
Which I think is, based on how the season's gone so far, it is one of the more surprising score lines. But at the same time, with how competitive this season's been so far, like we've mentioned in previous episodes of the season, anyone can beat anybody really and truly this season, except for the Raiders, because the Raiders are definitely the powerhouse. They are the hardest team to beat right now.
Yeah, they're definitely the ones with the target on their backs right now.
And then while all of that was going on, we had the fantastic Airdrie Homecoming Festival, which I believe is the fourth annual one,
Yeah,
Chris.
this is our fourth homecoming festival that we've had. Second on the turf field out in Airdrie.
Oh yeah, because that started originally for getting the turf field, right?
No, it started as a city-led initiative, and it was supposed to be a one-time event. To get people back out of their house after COVID, and they had some money put behind it, and they had approached me, the city did, about getting one high school game that day. It turns out we couldn't get it done, so it was just a concert series and a festival the first time. But then the next year we scheduled four games around homecoming, and then the past 2 years we've had five games on the turf field because we could go later on in the day and have night games. So year four.
Nice.
Excellent.
It's always good. Yeah, and football's, I guess you see it more, especially dealing with the high school level and stuff. Like football is really growing in Airdrie.
Yeah, so 4 weeks ago, George McDougal played at WH Croxford, and both teams are very talented, well-coached teams. It was a Friday night game at 7 o'clock, and 2,500 people showed up to the game. It got to the point where it was hard to get to locker rooms, and we were running out of room for people on the stands. There was nowhere to park. Just an incredible atmosphere, and it reminded you of a very small town feel in the States, like we were in Katy, Texas, or somewhere like that. It was just a tremendous atmosphere, and homecoming was the same way up until when the rain started.
So right at the start of the last game between
Yes.
George Mack and Richards.
Yes. The marquee event.
Yeah. The Airdrie Bowl.
Yes.
But it did hold off for the Bantam game,
It did.
which I was told by coaching staffs that only one team showed up for and the other one didn't.
It was a very one-sided affair. It is tough, though, to come into Airdrie with that crowd, with that stadium, and play a home team. It's such a different feel from CBFA normally because Scholdice is so neutral for all the teams, right? Your fans are there, their fans are there. You don't have the same kind of atmosphere. This was a very pro Airdrie crowd.
No, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, and it's I have heard comments and stuff about, maybe having more games up in Airdrie for home games for the Raiders and stuff. But at the same time, it's, you can almost put the argument in for the Eagles, playing at Foothills Comp or, but then you have to look at the logistics and the board of directors. And like, we have directors out at all of our games at Scholdice, and just everything, having everything just at the neutral site just makes everything so much easier.
Yeah, it does. I would like to see more of these sort of games. I know Cochrane has two great turf fields. Foothills Composite has the stadium there. Since we've got the turf, and since really coming out of COVID, you've really seen football in Airdrie take off and the culture take off. And a lot of it has to do with these home games and having some place where our community can gather. It's just been such a great thing, and it's encouraged so many more people to play the sport. So, it's a positive across the board for me.
No, it's fair, and yeah, it's looking at, the minor league level. It's the Airdrie Storm, I believe, have won the last one or two Pee Wee championships.
In a row.
Yeah, and then the Raiders came back from behind and had a heck of a Div 1 final last year against the Colts, and they've been in the final for the last couple of years as well. So yeah, it is. They have the athletes, they have the depth, they have the talent that's coming through of all ages. And then, of course, you get the split into the high school level.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is when it gets to the high school level, Coach Tyrell Roll has done a great job at the Pee Wee level. Coach Kemp does such a great job at the Bantam level. We have players split amongst three or four teams here in Airdrie, and because there's also a Catholic school, they play in Calgary, but they do get some of the football players. Just the development that they have has just been tremendous. And so we get kids coming into the high schools that can play right out of the gate, and it makes my life a little bit easier as a high school coach to get that.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially when you have to, play teams like Raymond and LCI.
Well, that was a fun experience this year. We went down to Raymond last year, had a very competitive football game. I think we lost 35-0. And before any of your listeners criticize me for saying that's a competitive game, when you go to Raymond and you play them, 35-0 is competitive. But this year they came up and waxed us 64-17. That being said, our kids scored 17 points against them, and they did that against starters. So just a tremendously fun team to watch if you ever get a chance.
Well, and that's the other thing too is, how many players do you have that were on the Raiders team last year, same with Raymond, that would have met each other in the Div 1 provincial or the Tier 1 provincial final for Bantam last year?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, but the difference is they all stay in Raymond,
Yeah.
whereas we're split across three high schools.
Yeah. No, that's very true. Yeah, that Raiders Colts game. Keep circling away from it. The Raiders did end
Trying
up
to
winning
distract you.
that one. The Raiders did end up winning that one 58-0. It was all Raiders right from their opening drive. I think they scored on the very first play of their offense. And their offense was scoring, their defense scored. It was just all Raiders, and they did a they did very, very well to utilize that home crowd, and that home field, and take that game. And I think that's probably been one of their most dominant performances of the season so far. And with that, they also locked up the rights to play in the Division One playoffs in a couple weeks' time.
Which I've heard that the CBFA is letting them play in Airdrie. Is that correct? Another home game? My wish.
I don't think so on that note.
Okay. You can't blame me for trying to get another
Nope.
game for camping the boys.
That is a good try.
Just because we don't have the high school games.
Right.
But yeah, anything else you wanted to add on the homecoming festival and stuff? Because obviously, you were a big, part of organizing it and running it and keeping it afloat and.
Yeah, so it's run by the Airdrie Sport Council. They're our title sponsor. And so our budget this year was $5,000, and we were able to have a concert series around with it. But it's not just about football. We actually had different performance arts that did all the halftime shows, and we had local talent and local singers. Just one sec, my dogs. We had local singers do the national anthems and stuff like that. It was really a cool environment for all of the city.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique experience compared to what we usually see at the Bantam level, because it's like you said, we did have the local artists coming in and singing different ages as well for the national anthem singers. Then, like you said, a wide variety of different halftime performances, and get a magician there as well.
Yeah, well, what we were trying to do is match the age group with the Bantam. So we had younger singers for the younger groups and some of our more established singers. But one of them, like Eden Taylor, has played in Nashville. She has a bunch of albums on Spotify, and she's just amazing. Just great local Airdrie talent. And so it was nice to showcase that. And we also had the Sky High Twirlers, the Taekwondo group, doing halftime shows. And then Fraid Knot played in between both high school games. So we had a stage of everything. It was a lot of fun.
So, James, what we're getting from this is we need halftime performances and in-between game performances. Surely. The only
Yeah.
time we do anything extra is city final day.
City final day, we go all out.
Well, I'll make this commitment. Anytime the CBFA wants to host a game in Airdrie, I will make sure you have an announcer, an anthem singer, and a halftime show. I can make that guarantee to all of your listeners and all of the board right now.
That's
Nice.
beautiful.
You come to Airdrie, we're going to treat you right.
That is very true. It is definitely a good time up in Airdrie, and it was a lot of fun to actually be up there for the entire day.
Plus, the voice that was doing the announcing was excellent. I'm not sure who it was, but just a great husky voice who really knew football, was able to call all the games just perfectly, didn't mispronounce any of the kids' names wrong, even covered for a George Mack coach who forgot to hand him a roster. So we had to use walkie-talkies to get the intro done. So that was good too.
Yeah, that was an interesting time.
The show must go on.
So yeah, we didn't have the starting seniors for George Mack, and then we didn't have a roster at all for Burt Church.
No.
The high schools are very disorganized compared to our Bantam teams.
Well, not all the time. Just, I only forgot one roster in my life, and it would have to be this one.
I mean, Burt Church didn't have
No.
one.
No, they did not.
But then again, also just knowing other coaches that you've coached that have coached me and not providing rosters, it's not a first.
Hi. Shout out, Pete. I hope you're listening. Welcome to the
Much. So back to Bantam football. James, where are we seeing first Bantam football stuff?
Okay, well, we can update the standings right now. So, those Raiders in Airdrie continue to roll. They're 7-0 and number one overall. Coming in behind them, in order, Eagles, Wildcats, Cowboys, all with 5-2 records. But they have their Eagles lead the way there due to head-to-head matchups. So that's through four, and then the Bulldogs and Lions are 5 and 6, as they just tied, and they're at 3-3 and 1, 7 points in the standings. Seventh place is the Mavericks at 3 and 4, and then eighth, we've got the Stampeders at 2 and 5. Ninth, Colts at 1 and 6. And in 10th place right now, the Rebels are 0 and 7.
So yeah, definitely some competitive games still to come. 2 weeks of regular season action. On top of that, before we get to our games next week, we also had some nine-a-side games that happened, which we also had they were in Airdrie a couple weeks ago. Chris, I don't know if you were up there for those.
No, I was campaigning that day, but I usually try to attend them when I can.
Fair
So
enough.
yeah, we got the nine side updates and posted on the website. This is the final regular season game for these teams. They'll have one more matchup coming up. Those matchups will be announced soon. It'll be the weekend after Thanksgiving, so they've got a week off here for the Thanksgiving break. But in this fifth and final week for the nine-a-side, the Chiefs took on Wildcats 2 and defeated them 34-16 to remain undefeated for the season. In the second game, Wildcats 1 defeated the Eagles 14-8. And in the final game of the day, the Cowboys and the Raiders played a very close one, with the Cowboys coming out on top 23-22.
I want to add that I think this is an incredible thing the CBFA is doing with this nine-man division. This allows a lot of kids to play football that would have been cut or wouldn't have been able to see the field. And I've seen a lot of players from that nine-man league turn into very good, if not exceptional, high school players. And it just allows them to develop their skills. So kudos to your league and kudos to the organizing behind that. It's just a great thing to see.
Yeah,
Yeah, no,
it really is.
it's definitely very instrumental because, yeah, like I said, it gives so many players who wouldn't necessarily start or get a chance to play, some football experience under their belt, and then they're able to take that experience into their second and third year of Bantam football, and they do bloom and blossom very, very well, and a lot of them do become good football players.
Yeah, and I think one of the reasons why the Chestermere Chiefs team did so well this year is because they didn't have enough players to play in the full 12-a-side, and they didn't want to miss the season, so they asked if they could play 9-a-side instead, and they've got some excellent athletes out there, so we're hoping that they can beef up their recruiting and rejoin 12-a-side next season, and I'm thinking the rest of the 9-a-side teams are hoping for the same.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But I mean, on the other note, though, that does give the other 9-a-side teams good competition, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, they and when they do make that leap back up to the 12-a-side, they'll know what to expect. They'll have experience, and it'll only benefit them going forward.
No, 100%.
So, final standings, regular season standings for the 9-a-side. Chestermere Chiefs finished first overall, 5-0. Coming in second, the Cowboys with a 4-1 record. Third place, Wildcats 2 with a 3-2 record. And they're followed in fourth place by Wildcats 1 with a 2-3 record. And the Airdrie Raiders in fifth with a 2-3 record. And the Okotoks Eagles finishing off the table 0-5. So Wildcats 1 win the tiebreaker over the Raiders due to a week two win in a head-to-head match.
So that takes us into week eight, which is also the second week of our Pink Sock Initiative, which you can find the recap. Well, not the recap. The explanation of what that is from Dave Hardy, one of our previous podcast episodes on our website, because it was re-uploaded and we mentioned that last week. There is going to be a special presentation done at one just before 1 o'clock game. Involving Dave Hardy and the Calgary Cancer Society. So with that, we've had some scheduling changes, which has been posted initially on an Instagram via story. But we'll discuss that now. Game hasn't changed. Our 8:30 game, the Bulldogs will take on the Colts. Following that, a game that hasn't changed. 10:45, the Rebels are playing the Eagles. At 1 o'clock, the Stampeders will be playing the Wildcats. That game was originally supposed to be on Encana Field, but has been moved to Hellard. The Cowboys will be taking on the Raiders at 3:15. The game was supposed to originally be at 1, but has been pushed back to accommodate for the Wildcats-Stampeders swap. And then the Mavericks and the Lions will be also playing at 3:15. That's right. That game's gonna be a hell. The Cowboys and the Raiders are playing in Encana.
Yeah,
I think
that's
you're
right.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the Stamps and the Wildcats were supposed to be on Encana at 1, but then there was a scheduling mix-up with Pee-wees, so their game got pushed back to 3:15. And then, because the accommodation for the Cancer Society, that got moved back to 1 on Hillard Fields. And so that game got moved to 3:15 in Encana.
Yeah, and if you're confused, just look at the website. All the information is there. It was
Yeah.
updated before we even started talking.
Yeah, that was a lot to process. And adding into that information next week, or I guess, sorry, this weekend is also Gordy's 7th annual food drive.
That's right. So make sure when you come down to Shoal Ice Park this weekend, you bring some non-perishable food items and pitch in because every little bit helps.
And we do want to give a big shout out to the Bantam Stampeders for acquiring their sponsor once again, whom I believe donated about 22,000 pounds of food, I'm
Amazing.
remembering correctly. Some high number, and it's really impressive. And they've been able to acquire the sponsor for several years, and they've already set the bar high for teams to match for that fight for the pizza party. So a lot to look forward to, and donations are welcome and appreciated, and they go a long way for the Veterans Food Bank of Calgary.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we're good to wrap.
Chris, you have
Anything
anything else
else?
to add?
Last words?
Yeah, just again, thank you to the CBFA for supporting Homecoming. I know logistically it can be tough, but it is really helping grow the sport out in Airdrie. Last thing I have to say is I have the Raiders winning the CBFA championship. You got to go with our hometown boys. Christian, Davin, those guys are too strong right now. Hudson, Frampton, I mean, is there a better guy at stopping people from running at the middle? I don't think so. Airdrie all the way. Let's go, Raiders. Chris out.
Thanks for being here on the podcast, Chris. We're gonna have to get some other voices on for other podcast episodes to have some other preferences
Absolutely.
on teams now.
Reach out to me, just email me cbfapr@gmail.com, and we will get you on the podcast to rebut.
Long as everything stays friendly, we're okay.
Oh, it's all in good fun.
Absolutely. I'm sure there's other good talented teams too.
What, none of them are 7-0.
No.
But again, to be fair, we looked at last year. The Colts went 9-0 and they lost in the Div 1 final.
Yeah, it
So
can
anything can
happen.
happen.
Yeah.
Well, and you look at weather playing a factor too. As it gets colder, teams change and the season changes, right? So anything can happen, and that's why we watch. You never know when you're going to lose by a rouge or win by a rouge, right?
True,
That
true.
is very, very true. Or, a 13th man.
All
Shots fired.
right.
On
And on that note,
that note, go football.
the CBFA podcast is brought to you by longtime players of the game sponsor, Wolf Cadillac Calgary. Check out their selection of new and used vehicles at their new location, 756 100 First Street, Southwest Calgary, or online, www.wolfcadillaccalgary.com. We would also like to thank the Canadian Brewhouse and the Calgary Sports and Entertainment Corporation for their sponsorship of the CBFA. Support such as theirs is essential for minor football in Alberta to continue to grow and thrive. Thank you for listening.